Well, everybody, welcome to episode 346 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. Legacy Realty is not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. All right, well, we're doing an extra Saturday edition of the podcast this week as I've got a special guest joining me today. He's in town for a few days, and I thought it'd be a good time to catch up with him. He's an Ankeny native who has enjoyed a long career as a football coach at the collegiate level, including a seven-year run as Iowa State's head coach from 2009 to 15. He is now beginning his second year as a senior defensive analyst at Mississippi State. This guy probably doesn't need an introduction in this town, but let's give him one anyway. He is Paul Rhodes. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Good to be here with you.
You bet. Well, this is your third appearance on the podcast, and I appreciate your time. I know you've got a lot of friends and family that I'm sure you want to meet up with. And the first time you were on the podcast was back in 2018. You were at UCLA at the time. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but we recorded it from your lake house up there in Clear Lake. And I don't think you have that house anymore, do you?
Don't have that house. I had the ultimatum to sell it if I wanted a motorhome, and I wanted a motorhome bad enough and wasn't back in Clear Lake near enough to use it. So sold that house and got the motorhome and moved on from there.
Well, then in 2022, we had you on again when you were beginning the first of your two stints at Gulf Shores High School in Alabama. And even though you aren't coaching there anymore, I believe that's where you guys have your permanent home for now, isn't it?
Yeah, just bought a, I guess we're calling it a forever home or retirement home or whatever the title is. Bought it in December and having some renovations done. Hopefully we'll be done within the next month.
We're recording the podcast today like we usually do from the Cyclone Fanatic offices here in Ankeny. There's all kinds of Cyclone memorabilia in this room. There's some jerseys. There's a big photo of Jack Trice Stadium over there. There's even a 2009 Insight Bowl football over there with your signature on it on the wall. You know, does it bring back some memories seeing all this stuff?
Yeah, it always does. Love seeing the picture of Jack Trice Stadium. Well, yeah, one of the best venues in college football, in my opinion, and certainly a fan base that classifies it there.
Well, I don't want to rehash your time at Iowa State because we've done that before, but you are now more than a decade removed from your tenure there in Ames. And, of course, the coach who replaced you, Matt Campbell, has now moved on to Penn State, and the Jimmy Rogers era will begin this fall. So there's a little more distance now between you and the ISU program. As you look back at those days now, and I don't know if you do that very often, you know, but what do you remember the most? Is it, you know, some of the incredible highs that you had, or is it still some of the tough losses that stick with you the most?
Well, I think it all sticks with you. Certainly, We had some big wins and every win against Iowa, the win over in Lincoln was a huge one. Of course, the Oklahoma State win when they were potentially on their way to the national championship is one you'll never forget. Every now and then I creep on my wife's Facebook and those things and I'll see videos of you know quick shots of plays or series from those games, and it's awfully fun to see. But the losses hang in there just as well as the big wins. But it's always been about the people for me and in the profession, and you know, great friends, great fan base, and all those experiences make it a highlight.
I know a lot of coaches have told me over the years that, you know, it is the tough losses. It's like they're harder on them than they don't get as much enjoyment out of the wins. Is that what you experienced?
Well, a coach's wife told me a long time ago, you better enjoy every single one of the wins. And I appreciated that. That was in 2008, I think. I was with that coach twice. I might have been in the early 90s, actually, that she said that for the first time. So, you put so much into it, you got to enjoy the win. So I've never lost sight of that. The losses over the years just become more painful and more personal. It's something that our father said, too, and one of the reasons why he got out of the business when he finally did, is the losses were becoming so personal, and hard to leave behind. And I think that's true. I think that's accurate.
Well, Paul, you've been at a few places since you left Iowa State, and I mentioned the 2 years in 2022 and 2024 that you spent at Gulf Shores. You told me back in 22 that you were getting kind of discouraged with where the sport of college football was, you know, heading at the time with the transfer portal and the NIL situation. But then you did go to Boston College for a year in 23, and of course now you've joined the staff there at Mississippi State a year ago. So did you just kind of accept the fact that this is where the sport is right now, or do some of those issues still bother you to some extent?
Oh, they still bother me. But you can't put the paste back in the tube, you know. So it's not changing. It's not going away. I talked to an AD who was an AD in the Big 12 when I was here, so I knew him through meetings. And, you know, a lot more younger coaches are being hired. And his reasoning is because they're to the point where they don't know any different, where I don't know, the old guard, if you will, guys like me, still see it the way it used to be and are hung up on that and don't want to leave it. And it's hard to hire a guy like that because of the new times. And I understood that. I got that. It made sense to me. I don't think there's a coach, administrator around that doesn't believe that the kids deserve to be paid and should be paid, need to be paid, and all that. And that doesn't bother me. The fact that they're uneducated, they're blowing it, they're not responsible enough to handle that. I think there's another way that you could get it to them over time, tie in their education. You know, receiving a degree before they receive all, you know, I think there's things that you could do where they could still get paid, but tie in that the academic piece to it. But them making money is not an issue that bothers me. The portal is what makes that the money the issue, because you can leave every year, go to a new school every year. You know, you're seeing guys at five different institutions over their career, and that combined with the money makes the money an issue, and that's the part that bothers me about where we're at, and them trying to figure out how to regulate it and get a handle of it. I don't know when that's going to take place.
And now
I'm not going to see it. Yeah. I can promise you that.
And now we've had some issues with, you know, the gambling, with certain players getting involved with that and having problems with it. I mean, there's just so much going on that coaches have to deal with now.
got to do something with all that money in their pocket. It's certainly not just sitting there idly. And as big as gambling is, and as you know, it's at the forefront of everything. You see it on television, you see it in print. They're not immune to it. They're going to partake in it.
Well, like one of the other big issues with the sport that maybe needs to be addressed is the calendar. The championship game was played on January 19th this year, and it just seems to me like the playoffs drag on too long. And it also creates some unusual situations like we had this year down in your state, where Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin left his team while they were making a playoff run to take the job at LSU. Now, I don't expect you to give an opinion on Coach Kiffin specifically, but, you know, that can't be good for the sport when a coach, you know, leaves his team high and dry like that. And don't you think something like that could happen again?
Oh, absolutely. It will happen again. It's good. Calendar is just another one of the issues, and as the playoff's not going to get shrunk. I mean, it is going to expand. To what level that goes, I don't know, but it is going to expand. And when you expand it, it takes more time. There's a lot of idle time in December and even January as you start playing those games, and you get them spread out 9-10 days apart, and instead of just continuing to play week after week. And get to a point where you finish it early. TV money controls it, and they're not going to buckle and change where their strong stance on when they want to play it. There's talk of I think a year from now starting the season a week earlier, but adding an open date. So not ending it any earlier, just start beginning earlier, and that starts eating away at coaches' calendars and times with their family, and They're going to have to eventually move up to start of the season, and then hopefully just keep on moving it along as the regular season comes to a close. And I think getting rid of conference championship games will help that in that regard.
Well, let's talk about Mississippi State now. I'm guessing, you know, when you went back to Gulf Shores for the second season, that you know might have been okay with finishing out your coaching career at that level, but then you made the move to Starkville last year. You know, so what was your connection to Mississippi State that led you there? Did you already have a relationship with Coach Levy?
I did not. We coached against each other when he was at Baylor, mm-hmm. with Coach Bryles. So he knew of me, and I certainly knew of him. The safety coach and co-defensive coordinator, a guy by the name of Matt Barnes, I was with at Ohio State in 21 when I was an analyst there. So Matt was the one that sort of initiated the contact and initiated the conversation in that building that I could be an asset with the staff. And then I talked to Coach Lev and what it would look like from a job standpoint after 35 plus years in it. My wife Vicki was done as far as moving was concerned, and it was an opportunity. It's 4.5 hours up the road, and it was an opportunity that would allow her to stay in Gulf Shores yet be able to see me to go up there and coach at that level again and come back down to home when we had breaks. And so it was, I wouldn't necessarily say it was an ideal situation. When I went back to Gulf Shores in 24, I went back as an assistant coach, not as a coordinator as I did the first time. I didn't find it as challenging or invigorating as I did the first time. And the opportunity to go and be around some guys that I did know in the profession and maybe make one last run at coaching in the SEC and at the Division I level. And the fact that distance-wise it worked, I made a decision to go ahead and go.
Well, you mentioned the job at Ohio State that you had there in 21. So this isn't the first time that you've had a defensive analyst position. So are you pretty much doing the same kind of things that you did for Ryan Day, or are there some differences in how the two programs utilize the position?
No, very, very similar. The difference would be then in 21, analysts still weren't allowed to coach on the field. You could take part in all the planning, helping the coordinator, helping the position coaches, doing film work and so forth, but you couldn't teach in the classroom, you couldn't run a meeting, you couldn't do anything on the field with the players. And then they changed that rule, so you're more active. You walk into a building now and you couldn't tell who was an assistant coach, who was an analyst, who, whatever title, because everybody's allowed to do everything now. But the same work as far as helping the coordinator, helping the position coach. Worked with the secondary in both schools. At Mississippi State, I'm more detailed with the corners than the entire secondary. We've had a coordinator change from last year to this year. Coleman Hutzler went on to Auburn. Zach Arnett, who was a former coordinator, former head coach at Mississippi State, got hired back by Coach Levy to be the coordinator and still helping him out with thoughts and ideas about the scheme. And it's active. But I was allowed calendar-wise not to be around when the coaches were gone recruiting and things like that, which was different than it was at Ohio State. That's the biggest difference beyond the coaching on the field.
All right. Well, your team posted a 5-8 record last fall, and you guys definitely had some highlights early in the year. You got off to a 4-0 start that included a 24-20 win over then 12th-ranked Arizona State, and you had a chance to move to 5-0 when you had number 15 Tennessee on the ropes in the fourth quarter, but they got a late touchdown to tie it up and eventually won in overtime. You had a tough overtime loss to Texas later. I mean, you just had some tough losses, didn't you?
There's always woulda, shoulda, coulda in athletics. But it was a season where we could have won these games. We should have won three more games. You just mentioned two of them. Tennessee and Texas should have been wins. We had big enough leads big enough leads late in the game that we should have held on one and didn't get the job done. So they were bad losses for us. And the Florida game was a game we should have won. We were driving for a game-winning field goal. We were in field goal range and turned the ball over. A play before, we would have lined up and kicked a winning field goal. So 8 wins and what would have been 4 SEC wins would have been a huge jump in Coach Levy's second year of running the program. Didn't get those wins, finished up 5-8, and now looking at a very challenging year in his third year running the program.
Yeah, we'll talk about the upcoming year here in a minute. Your team was selected to play in the Duke's Mayo's Bowl, even though you didn't have the required 6 wins. So you guys went to Charlotte for that bowl game on January 2nd. You dropped a 43-29 decision to Wake Forest. Now, I know a few teams such as Iowa State opted out of bowl games for various reasons, usually due to a coaching change, but not always. So was there any hesitancy on Mississippi State's part to compete, in a bowl game? Did you feel like you guys got some benefit out of it?
Wasn't a part of those direct conversations in knowing that. I don't think there was. You had a combination of teams opting out, and then you had a combination of our academic standing being so good. So there's when not enough teams either elect to play or qualify for bowl games, then it goes to teams with losing records based on APR and academic standing, and we were one of those teams ranked high in the country, so we were able to achieve the spot. We started a true freshman quarterback in the bowl game. It was the second start of the season. He had started the Egg Bowl against Ole Miss to close the season, and I think the opportunity to get him a whole another month basically of practice and development in a game was the catalyst for saying yes to it, as well as everybody on the roster that would be returning that development time and too good to turn down.
Well, I know some people feel like that now there's the 12-team playoff, that it kind of diminishes the importance of the other bowl games. And I couldn't find what the listed attendance was for your game, but what was the atmosphere like in that stadium? Did Wake bring a pretty good crowd, because they're not too far from there?
Decent crowd, and we did as well. So I think as that game went on and played back and forth, the crowd was not a disappointment. It was not a game that you didn't enjoy being a part of. I think the impact of all bowl games has died a little bit with the playoff and its expansion of it and the focus on the national champion that gets crowned from it. I still believe it's a great experience for the kids. I think it's an opportunity to continue to develop rosters that the portal doesn't implode, and you, as a coach, you never turn away from that opportunity.
Well, of course, the NCAA just announced that the NCAA basketball tournament is going to expand to 76 teams. And like you mentioned earlier, the football playoff is probably going to expand too at some point. Would you be in favor of that? And if that happens, do you think these so-called minor bowls can even survive?
I had heard, and I don't know if it was just somebody's opinion, and I couldn't even tell you who it was, and I could see this. They talked about the bowl games, the old bowl games, moving to potentially the beginning of the season, and teams playing non-conference games at bowl sites and starting the season with those types of games. And I could see that happening. I could also see a lot of the lower tier bowl games going away, which as a traditionalist would be sad to see for the game of college football, in my opinion.
All right, listen to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. or visiting with former Iowa State head football coach Paul Rhodes. And before we look ahead to the 2026 season, I just wanted to ask you about the recent NFL draft, because a couple of the Mississippi State players were drafted. Wide receiver Brandon Thompson was picked in the fourth round by the LA Chargers, and he's a guy that averaged more than 18 yards a catch and had over 1,000 receiving yards last season. He became the first Bulldog receiver since Eric Moulds in 1996 to be drafted. So he's a real speed burner, huh?
Can fly. Yeah, can absolutely fly. Ran the fastest 40 time at the combine this year, the NFL combine in Indianapolis this year. Was not the fastest of all time. I'm not sure who holds that, but they thought he might be capable of running the fastest of ever run at the combine. He can go, and he was a game breaking receiver for us, and a tight end was a very good football player, and wasn't surprised at all that he got taken.
Yeah, your tight end was selected in the fifth round, Sadu Traore. He was selected by the Miami Dolphins. So I imagine you've already probably heard from our mutual friend Rod Brandon about that pick, haven't you?
wanted to low down and wanted to make sure the Dolphins were getting a good player.
Well, I read where Traore is from London, so how does a guy from England end up in Starkville?
I have no idea, but we did weekly, we do a review of position goals at the end of the week going into a game, and he often was the tight end that was selected to get up there and present those position goals, and it was fun to hear him speak because he has a very strong accent when he gets up there and talks in front of the group, and the group enjoys it as well.
Oh, I bet. Well, I imagine you guys just wrapped up spring ball last month, you know. So how did the spring practices go? Did you guys have a spring game to close it out, and do you feel like it was a productive spring?
We did not have a spring game, and I don't know the history behind it. A year ago, my first year there, we did, and it's tied around a very busy weekend on campus. You got the baseball team playing, you got the softball team playing, you got football going on. So they sort of do a not homecoming weekend, but they got a name for it. So fans can come in and take in three different sports in the day if they want to. And this year, the end of our spring, our 15th practice, didn't coincide with a weekend where other sports were in town. So the weekend before, baseball and softball was playing, so we had an open scrimmage to the public. And I would say the crowd was about the same as it was the year before at the spring game. But they're always anxious to get out and see the new team. And in today's age, it is a completely new team every year with every school across the country because of what the portal does.
Now, I know Starkville is obviously a college town. Is it anything at all like Ames?
It's very like Ames, and I've said that to many people. The schools are very similar: vet med, engineering, business, ag. So very, very complementary schools. A single high school. I guess there's a private school in town there too. But Ames and Starkville very similar, and because of that, I enjoy it very much.
Well, going into the fall now, what do you feel like are the biggest question marks for this team?
Our quarterback is still a young player with not many games under his belt. A very, very talented young player. But he's going to have to grow and learn and develop into the position. Our offensive line will be completely revamped. Our safety position will be completely new as well. So, I mean, you can look on both sides of the ball. But the game of football, it doesn't necessarily end, but it certainly starts with the quarterback position. And we will go as far as he's capable of leading us.
Well, looking at your schedule, I see that the Bulldogs play at Minnesota on September 12th, so I'm sure your family here in Iowa is excited that you'll be playing, you know, that close to home. I've only been in that stadium once, and that was with your brother Tony to see a U2 concert, and we got drenched by a torrential downpour. Do you remember that, Tony?
I do.
But, you know, it looks like this is the first ever meeting between the two schools, so that'll be an interesting matchup.
I was unaware of that. I've been in that new stadium once. We went there at Ohio State in 21 and got a victory. Great atmosphere, a great stadium. They did an excellent job with it. Having to go on the road to Big Ten country early in the season will be a great challenge. And this will be the first year that the SEC goes to a 9-game conference schedule. So having that Minnesota game, 9 SEC games, we've got a great challenge in front of us.
And then your SEC schedule will begin the next week with a trip to Columbia to face South Carolina. And it doesn't get any easier, you know, from there. You'll be at home for a pair of games against Missouri and Alabama before you go to LSU. And then after that, you know, gosh, it's Oklahoma, Texas, Vanderbilt, Auburn, and of course, the Egg Bowl to end the season. So even though you don't have Georgia, Florida, A&M, or Tennessee on your schedule like last year, I mean, it's still going to be a gauntlet, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be a gauntlet. I'm sure it will rank somewhere in the top 20, if not the top 10, as far as most difficult schedules such as life in the SEC.
Well, Paul, before I let you go, because I know you have a party to get ready for tonight, and I'll probably see you there, but I just wanted to hit a few other quick topics with you. The SEC Commissioner, Greg Sankey, made some comments recently about the Big Ten winning the last 3 national championships with 3 different teams. You know, he said something to the effect that the ball just didn't bounce the SEC's way in a couple of games, and, you know, that was certainly one way to put it, but it does seem like the longtime dominance of the SEC, you know, is maybe over, you know, and this could be a new world that we're living in now. Do you feel like, you know, that there has been a shift in the power structure?
I think there has, and that's where the NIL and revenue share comes into play, because folks are spending money and they're able to spend money without regulation, and you can argue that the Big Ten schools have very deep pockets when it comes to their financing, and I think that's showing.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you about is one of your former colleagues, Jeff Hafley. He was a grad assistant at Pitt when you were the defensive coordinator there in 2006 and 2007. And he later became the head coach at Boston College, who brought you on there as an assistant coach. He went on to become the defensive coordinator at the Green Bay Packers. And then he was named in January the new head coach of the Dolphins. So you've got to be awfully proud of him. And I'm sure you feel like, you know, you helped him get to where he is today.
Oh, very proud of him. Very proud of him. It was very apparent at an early age that he was going to go big places in the profession, and getting into the NFL at a young age like he did, getting exposed to that, it was only a matter of time before he became a coordinator and now a head coach. And just extremely happy and proud of him, and happy for his family. If anybody's capable of winning with the Dolphins right now, he'll get it done.
Well, Paul, I'll finish up with this question. You're going to join me in the 60-year-old club next February. I'm actually a couple of years, you know, ahead of you, but I've certainly given retirement some thought. I know your brother Tony retired last fall. He's enjoying it. You know, have you thought about how much longer you want to coach?
Yeah, I think retirement's nearer than it is far right now. I don't know if this will be it. I don't know if it'll be 5 more years, The end is closer than I would have told you probably 5 years ago, and I think what's changed in college football has certainly been a big part of that. I still love coaching. I love teaching. I love seeing a kid learn something or perfect something. That's always been the biggest enjoyment from the coaching and teaching side of it with the athletes, and I will miss that when I walk away from it. There'll be other things that I don't miss with the direction that it's headed right now and the current state of it.
Well, I think you told me on the last podcast that we did that you still had some interest in being a head coach again because you felt like you wanted another shot at it. But you did also tell me that you recognize that it's a young man's game and that a lot of the head coaching jobs, you know, we're going to younger and younger coaches these days. You know, so will you be at peace with it if it doesn't happen for you again?
Have to be. But I will be. I did want another opportunity. I wish I would have got it. Wasn't in the cards, and that's okay. I've had a great run, in my opinion, impacted a lot of young men in the profession, and hopefully impacted for a lifetime.
Well, Paul, thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. And best of luck this season.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Well, you've listened to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. Well, I want to thank my guest again for coming in today. We visited with former Iowa State head football coach Paul Rhodes, and I really enjoyed that conversation. It's always fun to catch up with Paul, so I hope you enjoyed it as well. And I'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.